I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There's no want to those who fear him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days, that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He guards all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous shall be condemned. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, I've been sent on assignment tonight to provoke all of us to a higher level with a simple question. Where is the fear of the Lord? Where is the fear of the Lord? I feel like the Holy Spirit is asking that of the church in this hour, but specifically to this house right now. Where is the fear of the Lord? You can ask Pastor Rochelle. This has been stirring in me for a while. He's been pressing it on me and pushing me deeper in it. It's also been confirmed more times than I can count in this first several weeks of the year. We must have the fear of the Lord. We must go deeper in the fear of the Lord. We must walk in the fear of the Lord to the point where it becomes the defining characteristic of our lives, that it becomes the filter by which every other choice and every other decision in our lives must pass through first. Because this is how important the fear of the Lord is. There is no obedience without the fear of the Lord. There's no passionate pursuit of Jesus without the fear of the Lord. There is no revival and awakening without the fear of the Lord. I will even be so bold as to say, to the level that we let the fear of the Lord burn in our hearts. This is the level we'll see all those other things in our lives. So if we're not fully walking in obedience to God, if we're not passionately pursuing Jesus every day, if we're not seeing revival and awakening in our lives and in our midst, we must come face to face with the all-important answer to the question, where is the fear of the Lord? Because the fear of the Lord is reverence, respect, awe, and wonder. It's the attitude and desire to want to please God because you love him. but it's also a healthy fear, come on, of the consequences of sinning and displeasing God. The fear of the Lord is balanced. It makes you love God more and hate sin more. It makes you want to be holy and righteous before God and gives you a righteous anchor when things aren't holy and are evil and are wicked before God. Where is that in the church today? Where is that burning? Where is that deep desire? Where is that desperation to forsake anything else that stands in the way of us having more of Jesus? Where's that unwavering resolve to purify ourselves and cleanse ourselves from sin so we can come closer and closer to a holy God? I can tell you where it is not. It's not in most pulpits. It's not in most pews. It's not in popular CCM songs. It's not in most Christian living self-help books. It's not in most church conferences or so-called spirit-filled seminars. That's why the church is in the state that it's in today. That's why there can be multiple churches on every street corner in the fourth largest city in America. But instead of us being known as the city of the greatest revival, we're known instead as a city with some of the highest crime, largest abortion facilities, most human trafficking, large network of brothels, and on it goes. How can there be that large of churches, but with no large impact on a city? How can there be that many so-called Christians running around, but without being the leaven that goes out and influences and changes every aspect of society that they touch? I will tell you, it all goes back to the fear of the Lord. Because if we truly feared the Lord, we'd take him seriously. We'd take his word seriously. We'd listen and apply his truth seriously. We'd be in such holy awe and wonder of him. We'd be consumed with zeal from the inside out. We'd become so desperate for more of him. We'd be ruined for anything else this world has to offer. We'd have such a deep reverence and respect for the things of God. We'd never think of being anywhere else but in his house when the doors are open. We'd never dream of doing anything that might break his heart. We'd never, go anywhere without that life mission being planted on the inside of us, of going and speaking and acting and living in such a way that we demonstrate that we actually believe that God is real, that he exists, and that he will either reward or punish based on our actions. This is how you know that the fear of the Lord has diminished or is gone completely. People want to claim Jesus, but still just live to please themselves. They acknowledge what they should do, but not enough to actually apply it and let it change their lives. They know the right answer is to say that they believe in God and he's the most important thing, but they don't care enough to stop being entertained by the same filth of the world or stop people when they blaspheme his most holy name. It's time to wake up. It's not just big, obvious sins like the ones we already named. It's all the little things. It's all the little things that we don't think are that big of a deal, but that the Holy Spirit is reminding us that he does think it's actually a big deal. There's nothing little or insignificant in our lives to God. Everything is important. Everything has value, My God, he took the time to number every single hair on your head, but we think that it doesn't matter. Every little word that comes out of our mouths. But what comes out of our mouths is what overflows out of our hearts. So what has your heart? Because of what has your heart is the fear of the Lord. Then your life will start to look like the psalmist. It will start to look like David, a man after God's own heart. Why? Because the fear of the Lord becomes your filter for everything, and nothing in your life happens by accident, but everything is purposefully and intentionally poured through the filter of what does God say about this? How does God feel about that? Will this bring honor and glory to his name? Will this bless God's heart or break his heart? That's how you live as a child of the King. That's how you live as a blood-bought saint. That's how you live as a remnant revivalist. That's how you live as consistent conquerors. You walk in and grow in the fear of the Lord. David tries to help us in Psalm 34. He gives us a model, an example of someone who actually lived it out. Of what it looks like, what it sounds like to live with the fear of the Lord. Look at verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Come on, he comes right out of the gate like a whirlwind. He says plainly and emphatically, I will bless the Lord. His praise shall be in my mouth. He doesn't give his flesh an option. He doesn't take a poll. He doesn't take his current feelings into account. He says, I will. He says, I shall. That's what I'm going to do. That's just all there is to it. I will bless him. I shall praise him. But he doesn't stop there. And neither can we. He qualifies when he'll bless God and how often he will praise him. Notice David did not say, I will bless the Lord at good times. He did not say, I will bless the Lord sometimes. He didn't say, I will bless the Lord at convenient times. Come on, he didn't even say, I will bless the Lord only at Thursday night prayer times or Sunday morning service times. No, he said, I will bless the Lord at all times. And you can look it up for yourself in the Hebrew if you want. All means all. All means all. That means you bless the Lord in good times, in bad times, in easy times, in hard times, in personal times, in corporate times. It says all times. That means there's never not a time for you to bless the Lord. And it says, his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Again, continually means constantly, always, evermore, perpetually, consistently. One translation literally says, I will never stop praising him. I will never stop praising him. And we know that David backed this up. This was not just some nice churchy thing to say. This was not to earn brownie points or earn favor with some other believers. David actually lived this out. Watch this. David wrote this amazing, powerful, positive psalm during one of the absolute worst times of his entire life. Look at this footnote from the Passion. Well, you're going to hear it. It's not in there. But listen, David wrote this psalm at perhaps the lowest point in his life. He was alone. He had to part ways from Jonathan, his dearest friend. He was being chased by Saul. Come on. The king, his father-in-law, hunting him down, and his paid assassins. He had to run and hide in the cave of Adullam, meaning their prey. He's their prey. Yet this beautiful sound of praise was heard echoing in that cavern. This is the lesson for all of us. We praise our way out of our difficulties into his light. Come on, somebody. So again, if David can go through all that and still find it in his heart to get past all his present feelings, to look above his current circumstances during the absolute lowest and worst part of his life and still bless the Lord in that time. Come on, say that. And still have the praise of God fill his mouth during that season. Then there's no reason why we can't dig deep and bless the Lord at all times and have his praise continually be in our mouths no matter what. Come on, where are the praise-filled warriors at? Where are the praise-filled warriors at? Come on, you've got a sound on the inside of you that can break through, that can push back, that can break through the resistance, that can shatter and shred the atmosphere. Hey! Can you still stand in awe of God in the midst of the trial? Can you still stare in wonder with the man of eyes like fire when you're walking through the fire? Can you still respect and revere God even when the whole world's turned against you and you feel betrayed, isolated, alone, and rejected by man? Because people who fear the Lord absolutely will. The ones who fear the Lord will still bless him even in those times. They'll still be praising the Lord even when everything in the natural seems horrible and hopeless, because their eyes and their hearts are on something higher. The ones who fear the Lord are fixed on the Lord Most High. They know whatever the obstacle, whatever the giant, whatever the mountain in their way, their God is higher and their God is greater. They just have to lift him up. They just have to lift up the name above all names. Watch verse 3. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. That's what those who fear the Lord do. They don't stop with just praising the Lord themselves. They will call on and compel everyone around them to join in and praise the Lord too. He says, magnify the Lord with me. Let's exalt his name together. Also, please notice, he's not asking. Ooh, that got real quiet. He's not asking. Oh, pretty please, pretty people. If you feel it, if you feel what I'm feeling, then magnify the Lord if you feel like it. Would you pretty please, with sugar on top, exalt the name of the Lord? I mean, I know he's already died for you and saved you and set you free, but if you still can't find something, could you please, please find it in your heart to praise him? That's not what he said. He doesn't ask. Magnify the Lord with me. Let's exalt his name together. He's telling, this is what we're going to do. Look, this is what I'm going to do. I will bless the Lord. I will praise his name. But then he shifts it. Magnify the Lord with me. We're all going to do this. We're all going to go up together. Magnify means to grow, to make large. It means to acknowledge and celebrate God's greatness. Come on, it says God is great and greatly to be praised. One commentary explains it like this. The word magnify means literally to make great and then to make great in the view of the mind. To regard and treat as great.
Come on.
The idea is that David wished all in circumstances similar to those in which he had been placed, to still have a just sense of the greatness of God. He's saying, look, if I can get chased and hunted down, if I can be rejected and alone, and I can still find it in my heart to bless the Lord at that time, if I can let his praise continually be in my mouth, even when everything's against me, even when it looks like God's far away, but I still bless him, guess what? You can do it too. You must do it too. In fact, I compel you. I urge you, lift him up right now. Lift him up right where you're at. Lift him up in the midst of that situation and bless his holy name. Because he's great and greatly to be praised. You see, when you fear the Lord, you will always regard and treat him as great. Because he is always great and greatly to be praised. Circumstances don't change the greatness of God. Situations don't change the goodness of God. He doesn't change. He's always great, no matter what. There's no end to his greatness. That's how great he is. Whew. And exalt means to unite in lifting up his name. That is, raising it above all other things in our own estimation. And, I love it, in the view of our fellow men, in so making it known that it shall rise above every other object that all may see and adore. There it is again. Not just about David. Not just about us, but when we lift high the name of Jesus, when we exalt his name together, it's going to have an effect. It's going to have a ripple effect. It's going to start touching other people. It's going to start breaking through into their life. They're going to start seeing, my God, how can they go through that and still have joy? How can they go through that pain and still have a smile on their face? How can they still say God is good? Oh, there must be something different that they have that I don't have. What is it? They will see it and they will come and adore God. Something powerful happens when we lift up the name of Jesus. Come on, I know I'm preaching to the choir tonight, but we already did this tonight. Something powerful happens when we lift up his name. Something changes when you lift up his name above all other things. Your mindset starts to shift. Your focus starts to shift. Come on. Your atmosphere starts to shift. Even other people around you start to shift. But someone has to live by faith and lift up the name of Jesus at all times in every situation so that all may see and come and adore him. Jesus said, if he's lifted up, he'll draw all men to himself. But someone's got to lift him up. Someone's got to make him great. Someone's got to testify of God's greatness. Someone has got to show people how to lift him up in spite of the sickness, in spite of getting laid off, in spite of getting slandered, in spite of getting passed over, in spite of getting lied about, in spite of getting persecuted, even in prison. Someone's got to give God glory and lift up his name above all things. And that will be the people who fear the Lord. Where is the fear of the Lord? Look at verses 4 through 6. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Oh. They looked to him and were radiant. Their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Someone, come on, someone give 5 seconds and take a praise break right there. Thank you, Jesus. Ooh. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Woo. This is what desperate people do. This is what those who fear the Lord do. They seek the Lord, they look to him, and they cry out to him. If you're not desperate, you will not seek him. Why? Because you'll think you've got it all together. You got everything you already need. You're self-sufficient, independent. You got this. But it's all just pride and arrogance. It's self-seeking, not God-seeking. But those who fear the Lord are humble. They recognize their deep need for him, and they freely admit their dependence on Jesus. They contend to keep the fire burning. They fight to preserve their focus. They look to him and not to themselves. Hallelujah. Those who fear the Lord always turn to Jesus. They always look to the King of Glory. They always live to behold the Lamb. Yes. And this is what happens in revival. People turn back to God. People actually take their focus off of themselves and turn their eyes upon Jesus. Watch, David says, this poor man cried out. He calls himself the poor man. But again, if you don't think that you're poor, if you don't think that you have a need, if you don't think that there's anything in your life that's a little bit lacking or deficient, you will not cry out. Why? Because you'll be satisfied right where you are. You'll be content with whatever level of Jesus you think that you already have in your life. I say think because I guarantee you it's less than what you think that it really is. Whew, here we go. This is another reason why religion hates the raw cry. It hates any cry, really, because religion wants to be dignified. It wants to be respectable. So what does it do? It refuses to humble itself and cry out for help. It refuses to acknowledge and give honor and respect to Jesus. Come on, you know the Pharisees. All they cared about, looking right, acting right, but not actually being right. Look good on the outside, but actually hate and persecute Jesus when he's standing right in front of their face. Disrespect him. Dishonor him. The King of Glory. You know, this is going to help somebody. It actually honors and glorifies Jesus when people cry out to him. I'll say that one again. It actually honors and glorifies Jesus when people cry out to him. When people are desperate and cry out in faith to the God who hears, to the God who saves, to the God who heals, to the God who delivers. When people get to the point where they finally get over themselves and die to their pride and could care less what anybody else thinks about them, that's the cry that God hears, and that's the cry that God longs for. It's not irreverent to cry out to God. It's irreverent not to. It's not irreverent to cry out to God. It's irreverent not to. It's irreverent not to cry out to the one true God, to the one who actually has all power, to the one who's full of compassion, who can actually help, to acknowledge that you can't do it on your own, that you actually need God, that you want him, that you have to have him, and you're not going to leave until you get his attention and grab hold of his garments. The very thing that religion tries to tell you not to do is the very thing that God's actually looking for you to do. The very thing that religion tries to tell you not to do, it's the very thing that God is actually looking for you to do. Religion says, don't cry out. You'll make a scene. It doesn't take all that anyway. Pull yourself together. But the desperate ones, the ones who fear the Lord more than man, are like, I'll cry out all the more. I'll become even more undignified than this. I'll do whatever it takes for as long as it takes to lay hold of more of God, and I will be even more undone in his presence. But you have to fear the Lord more than man. Whoo. Or you'll never get to that place. You'll never crucify your flesh and kill your pride if you have the fear of man clinging onto your voice. But if you fear the Lord, if you honor and respect him and stay consistently in awe and wonder of him, if you only care what God thinks about you, you will get free, you will get loosed, and you will get loud. Come on, it's time to find your cry. It's time to find your desperate cry tonight in the name of Jesus. Because it's the desperate ones. It's the ones who fear the Lord who will not let Jesus pass them by, but insist that he stays at their home. They put a demand on his presence. They refuse to stay quiet, but they give honor to the King of Kings. And the Lord of Lords. They push past everything that gets in the way of more of Jesus. And they are exactly the ones who actually get more of him. Come on. The ones who actually seek him, look to him, and cry out to him until he comes. Come on. Are the ones who don't miss their hour of visitation. And that's exactly what we have to do. We have to seek him, look to him, and cry out for him. Verses 7 through 11. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Now we get to the meat. Look at how many times that he mentions the fear of the Lord. The Lord encamps around those who fear him. Fear the Lord, you saints. There's no want to those who fear him. Listen to me and I'll teach you the fear of the Lord. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. It's like the sandwich. It's like a psalm sandwich. And right in the middle, it's the fear of the Lord. I think he's trying to tell us something. Come on, we need the Holy Spirit to teach us the fear of the Lord. We need to choose to let go of anything and everything that's keeping us from fully fearing the Lord. If we have ears to hear, the Spirit will teach us. If we ask, if we seek, if we knock, he will open the door to the deeper places of the fear of the Lord. He will teach us how to fear him. He will show us how to trust in the Lord with all our hearts so that you will be blessed. Come on, I'm not hitting on a lot of these tonight. That's not my assignment. But I encourage you to go back through Psalm 34 and look at the blessings. There's a lot of blessings in there for those who fear him. You got to get the fear of the Lord in our lives. We've got to get the fear of the Lord in our families. We've got to get the fear of the Lord in our church if we're ever going to see a city and a generation actually come to the knowledge of the fear of the Lord. If we don't even have it, why would the world? Well, they won't. Someone has to show them there's a better way. And in fact, there's only one way. And his name is Jesus. And you need to fear him because he's God. And he's the one who can actually destroy the body and the soul in hell forever. Come on. How many want to preach that? That's the truth. Come on. That's what Jesus said. Don't fear man. Don't fear some man who's going to try to hurt you, try to insult you, put you down. Fear God. Look at verses 12 through 17. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. His ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. So what does the fear of the Lord look like practically walked out? He gives us several examples right here. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Basically, watch your mouth. Watch your mouth. Set a guard over your mouth. Again, we tend to think that the words coming out of our mouths aren't really that big of a deal. But it's such a big deal to God that he lists it first. The first thing he says, you desire life? You want to love many days? You want to see good? This is what you got to do. Shut your mouth. Stop speaking evil. Stop lying. Oh, my God. Then he says, depart from evil and do good. So then the fear of the Lord affects your words, but then it affects your actions too. Stop doing bad. Start doing good. This is so simple. I think a lot of times we're looking for some crazy, the angel Gabriel came and gave me a 50-point plan on all these different things, and I wrote 20 books that you can buy on my website. But what does he say? Stop doing bad. Start doing good. Oh, okay. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Stop living for yourself and start living for God. Seek peace and pursue it. What's that mean? Stop stirring things up. Stop arguing. Stop complaining. Stop gossiping. Stop slandering. Start looking for ways to actually be peacemakers. Look for ways to live at peace with God and with other people. Oh, well, that's not what I signed. Well, yeah, actually, that's what he says right here. That's what he says. Seek peace. Pursue it. That means you're going to run it down. That means you're going to chase after it. That means you're going to hunt that thing down. Oh, I just don't have peace. Everything's going crazy. Why don't I have it? Well, are you seeking peace? Are you pursuing it? Are you running after it? Or are you just sitting around complaining? It's all tied together. It is. Whew. Basically, what's he saying? Talk like Jesus. Live like Jesus, and you'll become more like Jesus. Live a righteous life. Why is this so important? Because the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. It's not on the wicked. Not in that way. And his ears are open to their cry. Whose cry? The righteous. So if you're not living righteous, if you're not living with the fear of the Lord, if you don't care about what you say or what you do and how it affects God, he's not looking for you to listen or answer your prayer. He's not. He's looking for the righteous ones. He's waiting to listen and answer their prayers. He's waiting to answer the righteous cry. Revival always brings about righteousness. People turn away from sin and turn back to God. They recognize sin, repent, and return to the Lord with all their hearts. Come on, God's not just love. He's also holy. He's a holy God. He's the Holy One of Israel. And he says, be holy as I am holy. Revival calls us higher in holiness. It requires that we live right. It is not an option. It's not optional. It's not multiple choice. Hey. We must purify ourselves and cleanse ourselves from unrighteousness and choose to put back on the robes of righteousness that Jesus paid for us to walk in. And finally, verses 18 through 22. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He guards all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous shall be condemned. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned. The desperate ones, the ones who fear the Lord, draw near to God, and God draws near to them. He is near those who have a broken heart and a contrite spirit. What does that mean? It means those who fear the Lord live in repentance and humility. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. The Lord is so good, so ready to forgive, so full of unfailing love for all who ask for help. But only the humble will see the need to repent. Because the proud don't think they ever did anything wrong. Oh, you know how they are. It's like, I don't think that was them. I think that was you. Just saying. He's ready. But only the humble will actually cry out for mercy. Only the humble will actually cry out for help and forgiveness. Only those who fear the Lord will be bothered if there's something in between them and God. Only those who fear the Lord will weep and rend their hearts once they realize they've done something to offend their Father. We need the fear of the Lord more than anything. But when we get it, it will change everything. It will change the way we think. It will change the way we speak. It will change the way we pray. It will change the way we worship. It will change the way we approach the house of God. It will change the way we treat our families. It will change the way we minister to the world around us. It will change the way that we go after and seek the lost. It will change every single thing about our lives and compel us to become like Jesus, whose delight, Isaiah says, is in the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord. It's important because it's not just some duty that we have to do. It's a delight that we get to do. Come on. We get to choose the fear of the Lord. We get to honor and obey Him. We get to bless His holy name. We get to be pleasing to Jesus. We get to make His heart happy. We get to be His ambassadors. We get to make His name famous. We get to testify of His goodness. We get to sing about His greatness. We get to sing the song of the redeemed. We get to live lives worthy of the high calling. So if you're ready, run to this altar right now. And we're going to have a fresh impartation of the fear of the Lord. God, we come tonight in humility and we declare our great dependence on you, Jesus. God, we need you. God, we need you more. God, we're desperate for you. We renounce every place where we have bowed to the fear of man, where we have looked to our own self-sufficiency instead of to you, oh God. And we come back to the cross tonight. We come back to the cross tonight. We repent of every other fear, God. Every other fear. Every other thing that stands in the way. And we come back to the place of the fear of the Lord. God, we repent of every place of sin, every place of unrighteousness, every place of wickedness that is standing between us. And we say, oh God, forgive. Oh God, forgive our sin. Cleanse us, God. Wash us and forgive us in the name of Jesus. We renounce every place of agreement with complacency, harabase, every place of settling, every place where a religious spirit, a religious mindset has convinced us to stop short of the fullness, of the fullness, of the fullness of the glory of God. We will not settle, God, for anything less. We will not settle for anything less than your fullness, than your fullness. So God, take anything and everything away that's blocking your fullness. Take anything and everything away that's blocking the full release, the full release, harabashe, the full release of your glory, the full release of your presence, God. We draw near to you, and we know you're drawing near to us even right now. Holy Spirit, we ask you, oh shekete basandebeshe, to come right now and to teach us the fear of the Lord, to teach our spirit the fear of the Lord. Shekete basandebeshe. The spirit of the fear of the Lord. The spirit of the fear of the Lord. Yeketebe. May it rest on this house. May it rest on these people. May it rest on this place. The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. The awe. The wonder. Karabase. He says someone's getting their awe and wonder back tonight. Someone's getting their awe and wonder of the King back tonight. Shekete. Look at the King of glory. Look at the King of glory. Stand in awe of the King. Stand in wonder of His majesty, of His greatness, of His goodness, of His kindness, of His mercy. Ooh. We thank you, God, for the spirit of the fear of the Lord resting on this place right now. In the name of Jesus, I pray you fill every place right now. Every place right now with the fear of the Lord, with a holy awe, with a holy reverence for you. Shekete, may it bother us, God. The things that actually bother you, the things that are sin, the things that are wicked, God, let us not turn a blind eye. Let us not be hard-hearted. Oh, but let us be sensitive to the voice of the Spirit of the living God and live in holy fear and holy wonder. Sheke tebo sata. Handebete yatabasekeya. Shoda masande de debeshe. Who sheke teba tata baseke. Reke teba tata base. Come on, he's doing a deeper work tonight. He's doing a deeper work in the spirit right now. Sheke teba tali ese. Arabaseke debeshe. Come on, you picked the right night to show up for a desperate night. You picked the right night to show up. Arabaseke debeshe. Because he's pouring out. He's pouring out. He's pouring out right now. He's pouring out right now. The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. Some of you have never even experienced the awe and the wonder. I say spiritual eyes be open right now. Spiritual ears be open right now to the goodness, to the glory. Come on. Those who look to them, oh look, those who look to God, their faces are radiant. They're radiant. Come on, your face will shine as you look to the King of Glory. As you look to the King of Glory, you will illuminate. You will radiate with the glory of God. Come on, I believe the fear of the Lord is delivering some people right now. I believe the fear of the Lord is delivering some people right now. Come on, if that's you, just raise your hands right now. If that's you, if you need to be delivered from something, if you need to be delivered from something that's holding you back, something that's holding you down, something that's keeping you trapped, something that's a snare, I say in the mighty name of Jesus that the fear of the Lord comes now. Shakata, and put such a fear, such a awe on the inside of you that it disgusts you. Karabaseke, you can't imagine that thing. You break ties with it right now in the mighty name of Jesus, because you love God, because you fear him more than man. Karabaseke rebeshe, sherebasoko rabaseke, rakasata basekete, yende beshekete beshe. Come on, there's freedom right now. There's freedom right now. Shada basoko yebatabase yeketebosha yende beshekeya rabababa shekeya hu shakatabasekete rambababo shakayeke hu shadadabase. Come on, a deeper place, a deeper place of the fear of the Lord, a deeper place. Come on, wherever you're at right now, there's more. Wherever you're at right now, there's a deeper place, there's a deeper level. Come on, there's no end. There's no end to our God. There's no end to his greatness. There's no end to his glory. Come on, who is like our God? Who is like our God? Who can stand against him? Who can stand beside him? There is no God like our God. There is no God like our God. There is no God who can deliver like our God. There is no God who can save like our God. Shekete basa. Eka tabo shokota basa. Woo. Hande besho. Shoda masanda da basa. Shekete bada basa. Come on. Woo, come on, we're doing business tonight. Come on, we're doing business tonight. Shakatabase, Shekatebeshe, Rabababashe, Rebebeshe, Handedemeshe. It doesn't matter how small. It doesn't matter how small. Shadabase. He invites you. Lay it down. Lay it down. Lay it down. Shakatabase. Whoo, shedededeshe, handedebeshe. Whoo, thank you, Jesus. Harabasuko. We're going to do two things. Corporately, we're going to seek the Lord and cry out. And then I'm going to come and pray and just seal this impartation of the fear of the Lord. Come on, it says those who seek Him, those who look to Him, those who cry out. That's it. That's it. Cry out. Hey! Hey! Jesus! Jesus! Hey! Jesus! Jesus! Jesus, Jesus, come on, I'm going to exhort you just like the psalmist did. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let's exalt His name together. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God, you're greater. God, you're greater. God, you're greater. God, you're worthy. God, you're mighty. Shakatabashike. Woo! Oh, we gotta have you, Jesus. We gotta have your presence. We gotta have your presence. Shakatabosatai. Do not pass us by, God. Do not pass us by!
Come, Lord. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus.
I need more. I want more.
Nothing less but fullness. Nothing less but fullness. Nothing less but fullness. Nothing less but fullness. 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 Shakata. Fullness. Shekete. Come on. He's El Shaddai. He's the God of more than enough. He's not the God of a little trickle. He's the God of the overflow. Shakata bashe. Yekete basha. I say fullness. Fullness. Fullness in the name of Jesus.